Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Charles Womack. Greetings from Faith-Driven, Grace-Living Ministries. I would like to begin our message this evening with a question. The question is this. Do we know any folk that look like they've got it all together? I'm talking about the money, the great house, the expensive car. They've achieved pretty much everything that they've set out to do, and yet it's not enough. Many are discontent and unfulfilled, wanting something else, and yet don't know what it is. Do we know any folk who may be living paycheck to paycheck, has suffered loss, doesn't have a lot, and yet displays unmistakable peace and contentment? According to statistics, there are a whole lot of folk who are beautifully accomplishing their goals and dreams in our culture. A recent USA Today survey revealed that 53% of American people felt like their life was dull and boring. According to this same article, we're number one in both highest per capita income and in the number of people who are discontent with life and pessimistic about the future. There are apparently not a lot of struggling artists who are able to function in peace despite the lack of the accomplished dreams. But I know one. His name is Paul, and he's the author of the book we will retrieve our passage from this evening. Our passage this evening will be coming from Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 10 through 14. Paul, he says in verse 11 of this text, he says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. The amazing thing about this is that his circumstances were absolutely horrible. Paul, he was in prison. He was broke. His health was deteriorating. And many of his friends had already deserted him. And yet he says, I'm content. How could he say that? What's his secret? Let's begin by defining contentment. From Paul's perspective, contentment would be maintaining our spiritual balance independent of circumstances. In other words, it's not dependent upon situations around us. Contentment is not based on what we have or encounter in this life. Isn't that what Paul is saying? Contentment in any and every situation? That makes for the most important question. How do we get this kind of contentment? How do we enjoy a truly satisfied life? Let's look this evening at three principles from this passage that will help us to see what it takes to have contentment in any and every situation. To have that internal peace in the midst of external chaos. And because of this, let us accept as a title of our message this evening, There is Peace in Contentment. Once again, the title of our message this evening is, There is Peace in Contentment. Now, first of all, we know, that contentment, is an acquired trait. Paul, he says, I have learned to be content. Paul, he says, I've learned to be content because contentment, it doesn't come naturally or quickly. Contentment, is not something that we get on a one-time experience. I hear people say, if I could just hit the lottery, then I'll be happy. Or if I could just find a mate, then I'll be content. If I could just do this or that, I'll be happy and content. And I think those kind of attitudes, they come from the misconception about happiness. They are much like the misconception of those who believe that the details of life produces contentment in an instantaneous manner. We're going to see those who believe, I must have what others have to be happy. Have you heard your children say, but mom, dad, everybody got one. This thinking is the myth behind the fads and the fashion crazes. But even as adults, we get caught up in thinking, if we just had what they had, we'll be happy. Or I must be liked by everyone to be happy. your This Is the Myth Behind Popularity, it says that contentment will come immediately upon everyone being pleased with me. But yo, that's impossible. Your Bill Cosby was asked the key to success, and he said, well, I don't know the key to success, but the key to failure is trying to please everybody. Your Jesus, your he could not please everyone. I mean, do we really believe that we can do something, y'all, that Jesus can't? Yo, if I'm looking, y'all, for everyone's approval to make me happy, I am doomed to discontentment. I have one more for us. Yo, if I have more, I'll be more happy. Yo, that's the old myth behind possessions. Yo, John D. Rockefeller was once asked, how much more would it take to make you happy? To which he replied, just a little more. Ecclesiastes, 5th chapter, 10 through the 11th verse, it says it well. The foolishness of thinking that wealth brings happiness. The more we spend, right up to the limit of our income. Yo, has anybody experienced that? Well, I have. You'll see, the more we make, y'all, the more we spend. If more produce contentment, then you're the richest people in the world will be the most content. And that's just not the case. Your happiness is a choice. And get this, your God, he expects us to be a content person. That's right, y'all. Let us share, y'all, with you a couple of passages of scriptures that makes this even clearer. You see, it's not, y'all, that only good for us to be content, but your God, he expects it. Now, your God, he doesn't expect us to always be on cloud nine or to continuously experience utopia, but he do, y'all, expects us to be the general spirit of our life to be one of peace and contentment. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 9, it tells us, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge me into ruin and destruction. Now, y'all, we may know, y'all, that this verse is absolute truth. Y'all, Paul says, don't think that having things is going to provide contentment. In Luke 3:14, y'all, some soldiers asked John the Baptist what was his, I would say, formula for righteous living. Y'all, listen to what John the Baptist said. He says, then some soldiers asked him, what shall we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your wages. That's a part of living right. You know, many of my colleagues, you know, they often complain, y'all, about being overworked and underpaid. Now, y'all, that may not be the way it is in your occupation, but, y'all, that's how it can be, y'all, in ministry. You see, y'all, God, he doesn't expect us, y'all, to be lazy. And certainly there is nothing wrong, y'all, with trying to better ourselves. But the question is, y'all, until an opportunity presents itself, y'all, am I, y'all, demonstrating discontentment with my present situation? Am I worrying, making others miserable with my discontent? In Hebrews 13:5, it says, be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Your God is asking us, y'all, to be thermostats and not thermometers. You see, all the thermostat, y'all, it regulates and controls the temperature. But your thermometers, y'all, they simply register whatever the temperature is. So God is saying, you chose contentment, and I want you to learn consistency in the midst of your circumstances, because I will always be there for you. So contentment, y'all, is something that is an acquired trait. And in the next two principles, y'all, Paul, he helps us to see the secret of this learning process. Now here, y'all, in verses 10 through 12, Paul says, contentment is adjusting to your circumstances. He says, your satisfaction in life, it comes from adjusting to our circumstances. Your life is full of ups and downs. Yo, that was true for the Philippians. Verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. In other words, y'all, the Philippians, y'all, they were in a upswing because, y'all, they were able to send Paul a gift. Y'all, they had been in a downswing because they had not, y'all, been able to send. Y'all, the word opportunity, y'all, it means inability. So, y'all, they didn't have the ability or the funds to send him anything. And your life is, for Paul, it was full of your roller coaster experiences. You see, at times, y'all, he was riding alone, paycheck to paycheck. But at other junctures, y'all, he lived prosperously. Times of plenty. It was a wild ride. I mean, plunging down into hunger, shooting up to being filled, diving down to drastic needs, shooting back up to having abundance. Through it all, y'all, Paul, he remained flexible. Y'all, he didn't lose faith, y'all, when he had to sleep on a hard ground with a growling stomach. Nor did he forget God when he had, y'all, a nice home and a hot meal to enjoy. You see, spiritually mature men and women, y'all, they know how to handle both situations without letting either upset their equilibrium with Christ. Paul is saying here, one of the things we must do, y'all, in order to learn to be content is to be able to adjust the change. In fact, y'all, we can safely say, y'all, that our happiness in life, it may depend on how well, y'all, we adjust the change. In other words, roll with the punches. Be flexible. Adjust, y'all, is what verse 12 is all about. It says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it's like to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Now I share with us, y'all, three roadblocks that hinder our ability of our flexibility as well. Y'all, these are things that we must avoid. Therefore, number one, y'all, we as the body of Christ, we must refrain, y'all, from comparing ourselves to others. Y'all, we want a sure formula of being consistently miserable in this life. But we just make it a habit, y'all, in comparing ourselves with those around us. Because, see, y'all, there's always somebody doing better. Or somebody, y'all, threatened to overtake us. You all remember the wicked queen in Snow White, who used to, y'all, ask the mirror on the wall, who was the fairest of them all? And, y'all, she was very confident and very content as long as she was number one. But, y'all, but when the mirror told her that she had been moved down a notch to runner up, y'all, she was not a happy nor content person. Y'all, she was disconnected because of jealousy. Y'all, how do we feel, y'all, when someone our age or younger gets a bigger house than we do, a bigger title, a bigger position? Yo, do that destroy our contentment? Number two, yo, the second roadblock is when we allow circumstances to control us. Yo, most disgruntled people, they blame their sour attitude, yo, on unfortunate circumstances. Yo, they're like we discussed earlier. You know, if I would be happy if. But, yo, what we must not, yo, fool ourselves and fail to see is that, yo, the real problem, yo, it is not your their circumstances that is not at fault, but is that they have your an unrealistic appreciation and expectation from life. I believe a lot of us who are in this baby boomer generation, or even a little before, we were raised by parents that either witnessed the Great Depression or grew up just after it, and they had it tough. So they determined that my children are going to have it better than I had it. And that's an admirable disposition. In fact, y'all, it is the beginning of generational wealth. I mean, y'all, who doesn't want their child to have a good life? But in many cases, y'all, the pendulum, y'all, is swung too far in the opposite direction. And we gave, hear this word, y'all, we gave them, many, too much. And we grew up, y'all, thinking that, y'all, we should have it better than mom and dad. because many moms and dads just flat out spoiled us. So we figure that we ought to be able to start where mom and dad are now, with two cars, a three-bedroom home, and money in the bank. The problem with this type of expectation is that when unpleasantness comes along, instead of facing it realistically, they think that they're being deprived. When the marriage gets a little unpleasant, we conclude, this person is destroying me. When we experience some health problems, we get real sour and we'll say, why is God doing this to me? If we have the tendency to basically anticipate the ideal, then we need to stop and learn to live with the real. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. John 16:33. Now, please hear this. God, he does not want us to just cope with our circumstances. He wants us to learn to be content, to be in a state of spiritual tranquility, in God's perfect peace, even though our circumstances are not ideal. And the way we begin to do this is to remove the roadblock number 3. We must be reframing from complaining and get busy with praising. When we complain about our problems, we increase our anxiety. But when we praise God for his goodness, we increase our peace. Now, we may think that complaining is harmless, but in reality, it's destroying our contentment and it's arousing the anger of God. Numbers 11:1 reads, complaining displeases the Lord. And in Psalm 77:3, it says, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. And finally, your contentment is being anchored to Christ. Verse 13, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Christ will supply the strength. In fact, the word for strength in this particular verse is dunamis. And dunamis, which is where we get the word dynamite. Jesus will provide the power. And we will just quit trying to be self-sufficient and become Christ-dependent. But often, in our pride, we determine, that we have the power to make ourselves happy. Sometimes without even realizing, we think or at least act like, if I could work hard enough, if I could just achieve success, then I'll be content. Do you all know what I hear people say, even Christians? I remember even saying this myself at one phase of my life. I would say, I don't really want to be rich. I just want to have enough to pay my bills and, maybe go on a vacation every now and then and not be stressed out on all of the issues that comes with the lack of finances. We're kind of like the brother, who was asked, would you like to be poor and happy or rich and miserable? He thought for a minute and he said, I would rather be semi-rich and moderately depressed. But the problem is that, we never quite achieve that level, where we have enough to be content. It is said, that Alexander the Great conquered the world, and then he sat down and wept. Why? Because, there were no more worlds to conquer. Please receive this. We have the whole world. It would not be enough to feel the longing in our souls. But when we completely submit our will to Jesus Christ, when we make him the Lord of our lives, when we place our utmost confidence in him, then he supplies the strength. Now let me briefly leave us with 3 attitude changes that generally takes place that produces contentment. Number 1, people matter more than things. In verse 16 of this chapter, Paul says, for even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Then he adds in verse 17, not that I am looking for a gift. You see, Paul, this Philippian people, they meant more to him, than the things that they had sent. He was glad to get them, of course, but he didn't quite need him. He wasn't desperate at that time. You know, as we all mature in Christ, you know, we begin to feel you're sorry for those you who are caught up in the rat race of impressing others. Rudyard Kipling, speaking to a Yale University graduation class, he said, "Someday you're going to meet someone who doesn't care that much about chasing wealth or fame or personal attention, and you're going to realize just how poor you really are." You're being content, y'all, is having the attitude that you're helping others is what really lasts. Your servant is what really provides greatness. And number two, as we continue, y'all, to mature in Christ, y'all, the spirit matters more than the flesh. Y'all, Paul's body, y'all, it was not in good shape. The Bible teaches us, y'all, that, y'all, his vision was going. Y'all, some think that he had malaria, even migraine headaches. And yet, y'all, here he's saying that I'm content. I've learned to be content. I mean, how could he say this? He could say this, y'all, because, y'all, he was more important to him than his outer person. Y'all, it was all about his spirit. And as we know, y'all, our culture, it places an inordinate emphasis on the body. I mean, we got training salons. We got million-dollar fitness centers. Oh, yeah, and let's not forget about cosmetic surgery. And, y'all, there's nothing really wrong with this. The Bible says, y'all, that we should take care of our bodies. But Paul, he also wrote to Timothy. He said, "For physical training is of some use, but godliness has value for all things." 1 Timothy 4:8. Y'all, as we mature, y'all, the inner man, y'all, it ought to become more and more important to us. Y'all, our contentment, y'all, is more and more based on our spiritual. Y'all, Jesus made it very clear that true beauty, y'all, it doesn't come from without, but from within. Inner beauty, y'all, that is, y'all, the beauty that fills our spirit, y'all, when we're in an intimate relationship with God. And lastly, y'all, as we mature in Christ, your eternity, it ought to matter more, y'all, than time. Y'all, when Paul wrote these verses in Philippians, y'all, he realized, y'all, that he may never get out of prison, but he was still content. Y'all, he realized, y'all, there was something beyond the grave. Y'all, as we mature in Christ, y'all, this world is going to mean less and less. We can feel it, yes. We can see it, yes, we can. We can touch it. But, y'all, it's temporary. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians verse 16, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Now, y'all, as we conclude, y'all, Hatson Robinson, y'all, he tells the story, y'all, of a young Chinese boy who wanted y'all to learn about the precious stone jade. Y'all, he went to an old teacher who specialized in the beautiful gem. He asked him, y'all, to teach him. Well, the old man, he agreed. Y'all, the lesson number one, y'all, the old man placed a piece of the precious stone into the young boy's hand, and he told him to hold it tight. Then, y'all, the old teacher began to talk of philosophy, of men, women, the sun, and almost everything under it. Y'all, after an hour, y'all, the teacher took the stone from the boy, and he sent him home, telling him to return the next day. Well, the boy was confused, but he thought surely the next day would be different. But, y'all, the procedure was repeated the next day and then several weeks thereafter. Each time, y'all, with a different piece of jade. Y'all, he wanted, y'all, to be polite to his vulnerable teacher. But finally, y'all, after a number of weeks, he decided that he was going to quit. So he came into the lesson. He sat down, and the old man put a strange stone into his hand. And instantly, y'all, the boy said, "Hey, that's not jade. To which the teacher replied, "Now you are ready to work with the precious stone, for now you recognize the genuine. Your do we? Are we all trying to base our contentment on all of the counterfeit things that this world offers? If we want to live a satisfied life, then we must all recognize the genuine, the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, for I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength." So I say to each of us this evening, let's take that strength. Let's cultivate that strength. And let's learn to be content. Yes, your life is a challenge. Pressure's forever there. We have goals. We have dreams. However, there's a time as we journey this life that we're going to have to take a moment and remember who and what God is in our lives. And when we do that, we will learn the blessing, the power in God's grace to be content. So we say to each of you, as you go and you bless God as he bless you, we pray that he be with you and bless and protect you from this day forth. So I say to you, be content and God bless. Good night, everyone.